Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, please, chapter 9. We're going to survey the book of Proverbs and note the value of this wonderful book. Now, you'll find the notes for our study this evening, and we'll continue on Wednesday evening in the notes section of your live stream. Otherwise, if you have your newsletter still, you'll find the notes for the study within the newsletter. Note there in Proverbs chapter 9, please. Proverbs chapter 9, in verse number 1, it reads, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to study your precious word. I pray that you'd help us to value the wisdom therein. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The book of Proverbs is a very valuable book when it comes to living out the Christian life. The book of Proverbs, as noted in the very first verse, if you go to chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Solomon is responsible for the majority of the Proverbs within this book. Now turn to 1 Kings, please, chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 4. We don't have all of Solomon's Proverbs within Scripture, but we have a good sum of them. Note here in 1 Kings chapter 4, in verse 29 and 30, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." Look at verse number 32. "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 33, that he was also a man of great knowledge. But note there in verse 34, "And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." So Solomon was a very wise man, and the Bible teaches us that he spoke no less than 3,000 proverbs. Solomon gained great credibility because of his wisdom. And back in 1 Kings chapter 3, we have an illustration of that. As he begins his reign formally, here in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 16, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him." And we have within this passage of Scripture an event of two immoral women that were living together. Both had a newborn child. One of the newborn children died. And they both came to Solomon and said, "Well, the living child is my child." So Solomon was faced with a problem. And God certainly gave him wisdom in dealing with this issue, as you read on in the passage of Scripture. Note there in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, note then verse 24, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And no doubt these two mothers were very curious, what was he going to do with this sword? Well, the Bible goes on to say in verse number 25, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then note the response in verse number 26, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child. And through this exercise and through this decision, this wisdom that Solomon applied, even though it seemed pretty harsh on the surface, he was able to discern the real mother because she, the Bible teaches us, she yearned. Her bowels yearned upon the son. And verse number 28 goes on to read, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. It is one thing to have wisdom. It is certainly another to use it for God's glory. And we see within this passage of Scripture that Solomon used the wisdom that he had access to. But we note towards the end of his life that he failed to use the wisdom that he had at his access. Now getting back to the book of Proverbs itself, the book is a collection of some 917 wise sayings. 917 wise sayings. That's the first missing blank, by the way, in your outline if you are following along, which reflect divine wisdom. And God gives us examples and blessings of living according to wisdom within the Word of God. See, wisdom buildeth her house, the Bible teaches us in chapter 9, verse number 1. And if you and I are to become more like Christ, if we are to live out the Christian life, well, wisdom buildeth her house. This is the verse that God gave to me personally to confirm and to give a promise concerning this building project, that wisdom buildeth her house. And all of us need the wisdom of God. And God has given us a book, the Proverbs, with some 917 wise sayings that will help us to make wise decisions. Now in your notes there, we make this statement, the book of Proverbs is meant to be to our practical life what the Psalms are to our devotional life. Think about that. The book of Proverbs is meant to be to our practical life what the Psalms are to our devotional life. The Psalms will help your devotional life, and the book of Proverbs will help your practical life, because wisdom is the practical application of Bible truth. That's what it is. So when we talk about wisdom, it is the practical application of biblical truth or divine truth. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, please, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 6. It reads, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So note that little phrase, to understand a proverb and the interpretation or the application. In other words, to take a Bible truth and to personally apply it, that is wisdom. And that's what the book of Proverbs is full of. It's full of wisdom. And that's why we here at Metropolitan Baptist Church encourage God's people to read a proverb a day. Today I read Proverbs chapter 31. Today is the 31st of May. And I was reminded of the wisdom of God and how you and I need to be wise in discerning godliness. So Proverbs is given to provide you and I with the practical application of biblical truth. Now note here in Proverbs chapter 1, in verses 2 down to verse number 6, there are some key ingredients within wisdom. Note then verse 2, the Bible reads, to know wisdom. So why has God given us a book called the Proverbs? So that we can know or we can learn wisdom. What is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? Now a good example of that would be Proverbs chapter 15. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. To know wisdom. Proverbs 15:31 reads, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So that is wisdom. So the Proverbs are given to us that we may learn wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, here's one example of it. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. In other words, if you and I are humble enough to take a rebuke every now and again, or to be corrected every now and again, and we all need correction from time to time, we all need a good rebuke from time to time, then we will grow in wisdom. If you can't handle somebody challenging you, pulling you up, correcting you, then you will become no wiser. So this is God's wisdom. So God has given us the Proverbs so that we can know His wisdom. So we're not in the dark, so to speak. What is wisdom and what is not? Well, God has given us 917 sayings in 31 chapters that will give us a good head start, to say the least, on what is Bible wisdom. And there's one example. If you can take a rebuke, if you're humble enough to take a rebuke, then you will grow wiser. If you can't handle somebody pulling you up, correcting you, then you will grow no wiser. To know. But also note then verse number 2 of Proverbs 1. Not only to know wisdom, but verse 2 goes on to read, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. And the next key word there is to perceive. The word perceive means to understand, to have insight, to gain insight, to be able to see beyond the surface, so to speak. A good example of that would be Proverbs chapter 14. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. In verse number 14, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. To perceive, not only to know what is wisdom, but to perceive, to understand, to have insight. Note here an example of that, Proverbs 14:14, the backslider, in heart. Shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So note the backslider here within this verse. The Bible teaches us the backslider in heart. So where does backsliding begin? It begins in a person's heart. So to say that someone is backslidden, well, they began to backslide in their heart before they did it outwardly. See, that's to perceive that, to understand that is wisdom. But also note there in verse number 14 that God gives us some further insight about the backslider. He will be filled with what? His own ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So the backslider is backslidden in heart before he is backslidden outwardly, and he is filled with his own ways. He's not prepared to submit to the authority of the Word of God. He or she is filled with their own ways. They've already made up their mind as to what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. See? So we see that God gives us some insight. God gives us some understanding of backsliding. That it begins in the heart, and for a person to backslide means that they're filled with their own ways. They're not prepared to submit to God's ways. Let's read on verse number 3 of Proverbs 1. So to know, to perceive. Thirdly, to receive. That's your third little blank under the second Roman numeral in your outline. To receive. To know, to perceive, to receive the instruction of wisdom. In other words, here it's telling us that Proverbs will help us to make wise decisions or right decisions by using wise judgment. So making right decisions with wise judgments to receive the instruction of wisdom. A good example of that is found in chapter 15, verse 1. Making right decisions with wise judgment. In other words, knowing how to respond correctly, how to respond wisely. All of us find ourselves in situations that we have to respond. How do I respond wisely? Note here in chapter 15, verse 1. A good example. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words do what? Stir up anger. So here we have wisdom. So if you find yourself in a situation where somebody is angry with you, they're venting on you, for one reason or another, if you were to return a little bit of anger, a little bit of vengeance, it will stir up further anger, the Bible teaches us. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. In other words, if somebody is angry with you and you respond calmly and peacefully and softly, that has the ability to calm the other individual down. And I've seen this happen. I've seen it fleshed out many, many a time. Not millions of times, but many times in my life. Where somebody has been angry and they begin to raise their voice. And then by simply responding softly, it has the ability to just calm them down. That's wisdom, see? Now, how would you and I work that out on our own? We would naturally just respond with the same level of intensity. That's the natural way to respond. Somebody's angry with you, you're angry with them. Wisdom, God's wisdom is above and beyond that which we can think upon on our own, in our own minds. So wisdom is so that you and I will find instruction to receive the instruction of wisdom, the ability to make right decisions by exercising wise judgment. But also note then verse number 4, the Bible also teaches us, Proverbs chapter 1 verse number 4, to give subtlety. To give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. The word subtlety here means to discern. From the angle of being protected, preserved, lest we are destroyed in our simplicity. Now, we make reference to a person being simple. And nobody likes to be termed as being simple. And maybe you have in time made reference to the fact, well, so-and-so, they're a little bit simple. Look, beloved, all of us are a little bit simple from time to time. Because only God is all wise. Okay? We can have a measure of wisdom, but we also have that part of us that is simple. And that's why we need the Proverbs. See? To give us wisdom, to protect us from destruction. An example of that is found in Proverbs 22. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, the third verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So to give subtlety to the simple, God is able to give us discernment lest we be destroyed in our simplicity. And the Bible teaches us that God is able to give us wisdom to foresee evil, pending danger ahead, and to avoid it, lest we reap some consequences. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. So God's word, God's wisdom, contained within the Proverbs specifically, will give us discernment, lest we be destroyed in our simplicity, because none of us are experts at everything. I personally don't like, and you know it, church family, I don't like the idea of so-and-so being an expert. How can anybody be truly an expert? That means they know everything within a given area. I don't believe that. Only God is all-knowing. Only God is the true expert. We're all learning. Somebody can be well-educated. Somebody can know a whole lot more than somebody else and be a professor. Sure, no problems. But God is the only expert. His word is all wise, and you and I need to understand that all of us are simple in areas, and we all need God's wisdom. I'm not an expert in every area. I'm not knowledgeable in every area. I'm not wise in every area. I understand that there are some simplicities in which I need help in. And the Bible teaches us that we need wisdom in discerning evil. The prudent foresees evil. And in noting pending evil, they withdraw. They hide themselves. So God has given us the book of Proverbs that we might know, that we might perceive, that we might receive, and to give subtlety, to give discernment. Key factors when it comes to God's wisdom. We need to know what is wisdom. We need to perceive, we need to have insight beyond the surface, what we see on the surface, the backslider in heart filled with his own ways, for example. We need to receive the instruction of wisdom, we need to know how to respond wisely, and also we need that discernment that will protect us in our simplicities. Note here in verse number 4, please. It goes on to say, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. It's interesting that it talks about the young man, because on a human level, I trust that as we grow older, we grow wiser. Not always, but that's how it should be. So that's why we have within the Proverbs this theme of a father and son. My son, my son, my son. And it's just like God the Father has placed you and I in his lap, and he's saying, my son, let me give you some wisdom. Let me give you some wisdom. So young people need wisdom. So who needs wisdom? Young people need wisdom in their formative years. They need knowledge. For example, note then verse number 7, chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? knowledge or wisdom, to fear God, if you and I want to be truly wise, it begins with a right view of God. We need to reverence and respect our God. Discretion. The young man needs knowledge. The young man needs discretion because we are mindful of the fact that we have an adversary who is out to kill and to destroy and to steal. Note then Proverbs chapter 28, please. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 22. So the young, those in their formative years, need God's wisdom. They need that knowledge. They need that discretion to see evil, how the devil is out to trick and to destroy and to steal. And a good example of that is found in Proverbs 28, verse 22. Note, it reads, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." He that hasteth to be rich, that individual that wants to be rich overnight, that is prepared to take chances, is prepared to take unwise chances and make unwise choices. He that hasteth, their goal is to be rich. The Bible teaches us they have an evil eye. They open themselves up to evil, to wrongness. And the young man needs to understand that. Young people, there are no shortcuts to wealth. It's called work. Work. Honest work. There are no shortcuts. So no matter how many Bitcoin emails you get on your email promising you wealth, health and happiness overnight, they're a pack of liars. Don't believe them. The Bible teaches work. Work. Be prepared to work. If man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. There are no shortcuts. And young people, if you could work that out, you are in a good place. You are in a good place. So the young man needs knowledge. The young man needs discretion. But also go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. It also teaches us that a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise, note this, counsels, plural. So who needs wisdom? The young need wisdom in their formative years. That goes without saying, but everyone needs wisdom. We all need more wisdom, because note here the contrast there between the young man in verse 4, and a wise man will hear and will what? Increase. Increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, plural. I trust all of us can say, wisdom has taught me, but also wisdom is teaching me. Wisdom has taught me, but wisdom is teaching me. So the young need wisdom in their formative years. And as we gain that wisdom, as we mature physically and I trust spiritually, we need God's wisdom. And I'm finding as I'm getting just that little bit older, I need a little bit more of God's wisdom. A little bit more of God's wisdom. The young need wisdom. Everyone needs wisdom. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. The book of Proverbs portrays Jesus Christ as our wisdom. Note here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in Jesus Christ there is redemption. In Jesus Christ there is sanctification. In Jesus Christ we are made righteous and we can live out a righteous life. But also in Jesus Christ we find our wisdom. So Jesus Christ is portrayed within the book of Proverbs as our wisdom. And as we read of wisdom crying out for attention, be mindful, it's Jesus Christ, our wisdom, wanting you and I to receive His wisdom. A wonderful example of that is found in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. And there is nothing fraud or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth. And right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. What a wonderful personification of wisdom, of Jesus Christ crying out to you and I, saying, hear my words, attain unto my wisdom. See the value therein. My wisdom is more precious than gold. My wisdom is more precious than silver. There is nothing that compares to wisdom and attaining that wisdom. And praise God that the Bible teaches us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God promises the blood-bought child of God wisdom. And my friend, this evening, you and I cannot possibly have access to God's wisdom and understand God's wisdom without the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you will repent of your sin and invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can be born again by God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to discern. He will guide you and lead you into truth. And as we ask God for wisdom as a child of God, God will use His Word to give us that wisdom that we so desperately need. So my friend, this evening I trust and pray that you have personally received the God of wisdom, Jesus Christ, to be your personal Savior. Because it's within that relationship we can have access to wisdom. There are so many decisions to make that affect us personally and affect those that we love and those that we're concerned about. We need the wisdom of God. Well, God has given us that wisdom within the pages of Scripture. And God has given us a promise, if any man lack wisdom, James chapter 1, that He promises to give that wisdom. So Jesus Christ invites you and I to receive that wisdom. Let me close with Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And as you read the Proverbs, I want you to place Jesus Christ as the wise one crying out to you and I and pleading with you and I to receive his wisdom. Young people, you need wisdom. Mature people, we need wisdom. We all need a little bit more of God's wisdom. And the Lord Jesus invites you and I to come to him. Note here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Allow me to carry your load for you and with you. Meanwhile, learn of me. You'll learn more about me, the Lord Jesus said. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Lord Jesus invites you and I to come unto him, not only to receive him as Savior, but also to receive his wisdom. And as we receive his wisdom, we'll grow in our relationship with our God. And then Jesus Christ promises us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you and I walk in wisdom, we will be at peace and we will enjoy our walk with God. Oh, how much we need God's wisdom. So let me encourage you, my friend, to read through the Proverbs. Valuable, valuable book. Full of wise sayings. Now, tomorrow is the 1st of June. So if it's not part of your routine, let me encourage you. Tomorrow being the 1st of a new month, let me challenge you to read Proverbs chapter 1. And then on Tuesday, the 2nd of June, read Proverbs chapter 2 and continue that each day of the month. Within a year, you'll read through the Proverbs 12 times. And I will guarantee you, you'll gain in wisdom. May God help us to walk wisely. On Wednesday night, we'll continue this study. It's so important that we understand the book of Proverbs. We understand the structure of the book. It's important that we understand the main contents of the book. So join us again on Wednesday evening and we will continue our study on the book of Proverbs. To what end? That we might walk wisely for God's glory. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the wisdom therein. Oh God, all of us need wisdom. And I do pray for those ones at this very moment that are facing difficulties, that are in need of wisdom to make the right decision. Oh God, I pray that you would hear their cry and give them that wisdom that they need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.